Next Sunday, my family is going to be out of town, and so the elders decided that this Sunday would be our question and answer Sunday. And tonight we're going to deal with several questions that have been submitted by different individuals. But this morning I chose to deal with one particular question that was asked me. One of our members said to me, "Somebody asked me, how do I know when I'm ready to be baptized?" And said, "I didn't really know how to answer that question." And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The question, how do I know when I'm ready to be baptized? Let me say, first of all, that I really appreciate that question. I think, or sometimes I feel, or am afraid that we try to rush people to be baptized without really preparing them for it, without really explaining to them everything that needs to be explained and telling them all that they need to know. A lot of times I'm afraid that people feel when they're baptized that that's all they have to do and they're going to be okay from thenceforth, and don't realize that baptism is merely a part of God's plan of salvation. It's an essential part, it's needed, it's required, but it's only a part of what God requires of us. And so the one who asked this question, again, I like the fact that they ask it because it implies to me that they realize that the idea of being baptized, that's an important issue. They realize that that's important. They realize that baptism isn't something that ought to be done on a whim. Just do it because other people think you should do it. Just do it to make mom and dad happy. Just do it for whatever reason. They realize that it's important and not to be looked at and taken on a whim. And they also, it seems, realize that, again, a person does need to be prepared before they submit to be baptized. And so with all those things in mind, let's think, how do we know when we are ready to be baptized? And really, all of the preparation that we're going to be talking about is mental. It takes place up here in our mind. First of all, you are ready to be baptized when, number one, you understand sin and its consequences. You understand sin and its consequences. A question to ask someone who says that they want to be baptized, and I often ask this of young children at church camp, and even my own children, when they would ask or say that I want to be baptized, I ask, if you die right now, if you were to keel over right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Now, if that person that you're talking to answers the question, "I believe that I would go to heaven," then I think immediately we understand that that person is not yet ready to be baptized, or perhaps, especially if they're a young child, doesn't need to be baptized because they don't understand sin and its consequences yet. Whereas if they answer, "I believe that if I died right now, I'd be lost and I'd go to hell," then that person is very definitely a candidate for baptism. Now, we need to teach them. We need to make sure they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. But that is the answer you're looking for. "I believe that if I were to die right now, I would be lost." Before one is a scriptural candidate for baptism, he needs to realize that he is lost. He must understand, first of all, what sin is. All mankind lives under a law today. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul said, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We live under the law of Christ today. And sin is disobeying God's law. Or sin is, as John said in 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is lawlessness, disobeying the law that we live under today, the law of Christ. There are sins of commission, there are sins of omission, there are sometimes sins of ignorance. There are different types of sins, but it all amounts to us disobeying the law of God under which we live. That sin, that lawlessness, that disobedience on our part separates us from God. You remember the first sin and the warning that God gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, where he said, "Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." I've said this many times, and I'm sure that you remember this. The word death in the Bible simply means separation. They didn't die physically when they partook of that food, though the process of physical death began. They died spiritually in that they were separated from God. Paul would say in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The death that we suffer is a spiritual separation from our Creator. And Isaiah said much the same thing in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 when he said there, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin separates us from God. Any unremitted sin can cause us to be eternally separated from God. If we have sin in our lives when we die that has not been forgiven, that has not been remitted, then it will cause us to be eternally lost. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 11 to 13, there in describing those who had succumbed and served the beast, which that goes into a whole other area, but we're talking about people who were disobedient to the will of God, says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saint. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Notice the ones who worship the beast in his image and who receive the mark of his name. All of those, I believe, are symbolic ways of saying simply that these people live in disobedience and rebellion to the word of God. Their torment, the smoke of their torments, ascends forever and ever. Unremitted sin in our lives will cause us to be eternally separated from God. The book of Revelation describes this as the second death. If you look in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 to 15, it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Before we can baptize a person, they need to realize that they are lost. They need to realize that the reason they are lost is because there is sin in their lives. That sin is disobedience to the law of God under which we live. And that sin, if it is left unforgiven, if we do nothing about that sin in our lives, it will then cause us to go to a place where the smoke of our torment will ascend forever and ever, a place of eternal punishment. They need to understand that. But that's not all. You need to understand sin and its consequences, and you also need to know, understand, comprehend who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. There has always been confusion over that topic. Who was Jesus? Jesus one time asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Look at Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, first of all, in answering, they say, well, they say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or you're just one of the prophets. And don't we have people today who sort of answer that way? Jesus was a great man. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was even a prophet of God. But they never go the next step and say that Jesus was the Son of God. That's why it goes on to say, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the right answer. Yes, he was a prophet, but ultimately he was the Son of God. And we have to understand that before we can be a candidate for baptism. Without a proper understanding of Jesus and who he was, we can't be scripturally baptized. Our salvation depends in part of our perception of who Jesus was. If we just believe that he was just a good man but not the Son of God, then we're definitely not ready to be baptized. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 23 and 24, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Could Jesus have made it any plainer? He says, "You're of this world, but I'm not of this world." He's from heaven. And he says, "Unless you believe that I am," and we've talked about this before, the word he is in italics, it's not in the original. Jesus is identifying himself as the I Am. And we understand what that's talking about. If we acknowledge Jesus as the I Am, we're acknowledging him, first of all, as part of the Godhead. Remember back in Exodus 3 and verse 14 where Moses had asked, "If they ask who sent me, what do I say?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you." So we're acknowledging when we say that Jesus is the I Am, he's part of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're acknowledging not only he's part of the Godhead, but going along with that, his preexistence, his eternality, I guess you would say. He's always existed and always will exist. And Jesus, in the same context in John chapter 8, makes that statement. In verses 56 to 58, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was,'" and there's our phrase again, "I am." Before Abraham ever existed, Jesus said, "I am." He has always existed and always will exist. The Jews understood what he meant. They didn't appreciate it one bit. When we acknowledge Jesus as the I Am, we're acknowledging that he's part of the Godhead. We're acknowledging his preexistence, and we're also acknowledging his authority over our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We're acknowledging his authority, and if we are wise, we agree that we will submit to that authority and be obedient to him. But we need to emphasize that even though many in the religious world would tell you that that's enough, belief alone is not enough to save us. It's not sufficient. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, we're told that the demons believe and tremble. So faith or belief in Jesus, belief in God, is not enough to save an individual, but it is a requirement. It's one of the several things that is required. So you are ready to be baptized if you understand sin and its consequences, if you understand who Jesus was. He was and is the I Am. He is part of the Godhead. He's always existed. He is the Son of God. And we might add to that, you need to understand that it was he who had to come and die for your sins that you might have salvation. But not only must you know sin and its consequences, not only must you know who Jesus was and what he did, you need also to understand repentance. You need to understand repentance, again, because repentance is also necessary for salvation. According to Jesus, he said in Luke 13 and verse 3, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And you, in my mind, this is really where, as the saying goes, the rubber hits the road. This is where, you know, it's not too hard to believe in Jesus and say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and really believe that. But when we come to repentance, this is where we actually have to make the decision to do something or to not do something, to make changes in our lives. What is repentance? There's a good example of repentance given in one of the parables Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 31. He said there, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But now catch this phrase, but afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. The purpose of this parable was meant to show that the Jews, whom originally were considered to be the children of God, had rejected God and therefore were going to be lost, whereas the Gentiles, the tax collectors, the harlots, they initially had rejected God but had afterward regretted it and served God. They were going to inherit the kingdom and the Jews wouldn't. The key there, though, to understanding what repentance is, that first son said, I will not, but it says afterward he regretted it and went. That's an example of repentance. He realized that his disobedience to his father caused him heartache. It hurt his father that he had rejected him. And so he regretted it, and then he went. So there was something that took place up here called regret, and that led him to change his behavior, and he was obedient to his father. That's basically what it says in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 about repentance. There Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Notice he said there that godly sorrow, there's the regret, produces repentance, which leads to salvation. And so the godly sorrow, realizing that sin hurts God, realizing that sin separates me from God, leads me to regret the sin in my life, and it leads me to repent, or to change, to make the decision that I'm going to do all that I can to remove sin from my life. And that's what Paul says in verse 11 there of 2 Corinthians 7. He says, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, and what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things, you prove yourself to be clear in this matter. This godly sorrow, he says, you sorrowed in a godly manner, led them to be obedient, led them to repent, and there was diligence in their repentance. There was indignation. The idea being that they were angry with themselves, that they had allowed themselves to do these things. And they cleared themselves. In other words, they repented of these sins. Repentance is a change in mind brought on by godly sorrow that leads to a change in action or a change in behavior. And that change is going from serving self to serving God and trying to remove sin from our lives. People must be willing to repent of sins in their lives before they're ready to be baptized. Whether we're talking about the sin of theft, you know, if a person is a thief before they're baptized, they need to be willing and repent of that. Make the decision to repent of that before they're baptized. They need to quit being a thief. If one is an habitual liar, they need to repent of that before they're a candidate for baptism. If one is living in adultery or is an adulterer, they need to repent of that and quit doing that before they are a candidate for baptism. And we could go on and on. Any type of sin in our lives that we have, we have to strive to repent of that, to change, and to serve and do the will of God. And if that commitment isn't there, then that person isn't ready to be baptized. If that person is not willing to say, you know, okay, I realize that this is wrong, this is sin, and I'm going to stop doing it, if they can't say that, then they're not ready to be baptized, because repentance comes before baptism. It always does. Okay, so you need to understand sin. You need to understand who Jesus was. You need to understand that there is a need for you to repent of the sin in your life. And we need to make sure that they understand that. But number four, you also need to understand what it means to confess. You need to understand confession. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32 that we must confess Him before men. Paul said in Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's called the good confession that we make when we obey the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 12 and 13, Paul said to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all and before Jesus Christ who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate." Notice there that Paul mentions Timothy's confession and that he calls it a good confession. And then he says that Christ also witnessed that good confession before Pilate. So that helps us to understand what this good confession is. What was it that Jesus had confessed before Pilate? He confessed that He was the Son of God. In John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now My kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." Jesus there confessed to Pilate, witnessed to Pilate, that He was who He claimed to be, a king, the King of the Jews and the Son of God. Without this confession, without being willing to make this confession ourselves, we're not yet ready to be baptized. We have an example of that, which was read for us before the lesson in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian. And Philip had gone to him and taught him about Jesus. And it says they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What is hindering me from being baptized?" Evidently only one thing, because Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What was it that was hindering him from being baptized? Evidently, only his confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We need to be willing to make that confession. And if we're not, then obviously we're not ready to be baptized. Number five, we also need to understand the purpose of baptism. This is where so many people get into trouble. Without a proper understanding of the purpose of baptism, baptism is useless. If I go into baptism thinking that I'm already saved, then my baptism is in vain. I've not been baptized for the right reason, for the right purpose. We're not going to go into it, but Acts 19, verses 1 to 5, if you want to look at that on your own, is a good example to show that you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. They had been taught incorrectly and baptized, and they needed to be baptized again once they were taught correctly. What is then the purpose of baptism? Well, Acts 2:38 says it's for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 says that when we're baptized, our sins are washed away. And again, I'll point out that in that context, Acts 22:16, we have a penitent believer praying for 3 days, and his sins were not washed away until he was baptized. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us." So it saves us. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So it puts me into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 tells me, By one Spirit you were all baptized into one body. It puts me into the body. We need to understand the purpose of baptism. Don't put your outlines away yet. I added something. Baptism remits our sins. Baptism washes away our sins. Baptism saves us, puts us into Christ, and puts us into His body or the church. We need to understand that. We need to teach that to individuals. They need to understand that baptism is definitely a requirement for salvation. Somebody's baptized as an infant, doesn't qualify. They couldn't believe. No sin of them to repent of in their life. Someone baptized believing they were already saved has been taught incorrectly and needs to be baptized again, having been taught correctly. And that was me. I fell into that category. When am I ready to be baptized? You understand sin and its consequences. You understand who Jesus was and that He died for your sins. You understand what repentance is, and you're willing to do that. You know, it's not enough just to know what it is, but we need to be willing to do it. When you understand what confession is and what you need to confess, when you understand that baptism is an immersion in water for the remission of sins, but then finally, and this is the point I added, you know, that's the bad thing about doing these sermon outlines on Thursday, because I change my sermon sometimes, and it's too late to change the outline. We also need to be ready and willing to work. Realize that my obedience to the gospel is just the beginning of my commitment to Christ, and that there are now things that are going to be required of me by God in order to live pleasing to Him. It's part of counting the cost, realizing that, you know, I got to be at worship. You know, I need to go worship God because He wants me to, and because I love Him, and because I'm thankful for what He did for me. I need to be trying to grow. You know, when a person first obeys the gospel, that's really should be their main concern is growing in grace and knowledge and learning more. But we need to look for avenues and areas in which we can work, where we can try to teach others the gospel, where we can try to do benevolent work, like with the food pantry and other things that we do. And also taking part in the worship of the church. That's part of being a Christian. As we talked about in our adult Bible class this morning, Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should," what? "Walk in them." We are Christ's workmanship, created for the purpose of good works. Look in Titus, how often the book of Titus talks about being zealous for good works and being looking for opportunities to do good. And so the person who wants to be baptized or is thinking about being baptized needs to realize that the baptism puts them into the church, and now there are new responsibilities. Now God expects me to do good works. Matthew 5 tells us that those good works do what? They glorify the Father, not ourselves. When am I ready to be baptized? When I understand what sin is and its consequences. When I understand who Jesus was and what He did for me. When I'm willing to repent and I know what repentance is. When I understand confession and I'm willing to confess the name of Jesus. When I understand the purpose of baptism and I'm willing to submit to that my sins might be washed away. And when I'm ready and willing to begin the work, begin the walk. There may be someone here this morning who has asked, "Am I ready to be baptized?" Or maybe you've been thinking about baptism and you weren't really comfortable with the idea of being baptized. Maybe you didn't know if you were ready. I would encourage you to take the opportunity this morning to obey the gospel. Have your sins washed away by being obedient, doing the things which we've discussed, submitting to baptism, knowing that then you must continue to live faithfully. If you've not yet been baptized for the remission of sins, why not do that this morning? If you already have been baptized, but maybe that last little step we were talking about, continuing to live faithfully and work. Maybe you've not been doing all that you need to be doing. Or maybe there's some sin in your life that you need to repent of. You can do that this morning. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing.